And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we are going to talk about Jezebel, Naboth, and America. Jezebel, Naboth, and America. This is a show I thought about doing for some time since we've been doing all of this research into the history of America, and we're working on our film, True Christian History of America, and how the principles of God's law were the foundation for English common law for centuries prior to the founding of our country. And many of us don't realize the importance of that in terms of the value system of the 13 colonies that undergirded the thinking of the American revolutionaries. But in terms of restraining the power of kings with God's law, by holding kings accountable to God's law, according to Psalm 149, that says that all the saints have the honor of, if need be, binding kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron and executing against them the judgments of God that are written. Of course, written where? Written in God's law in the scripture. And these are the things that we're going to talk about. And of course, we have to lay out all the evidence so that people can understand, because this is not something that is taught in our schools. The history has been changed. We can prove it. That's the thing. We can prove, we can document it. But anyway, I have often pondered with everything that's going on and looking at history and how things have unfolded in the Western world. And the principles of freedom, what were the building blocks of freedom? Well, it begins with God's law and holding government accountable for God's law. And if we look at the story of Ahab and Jezebel, and there's a lot of things we could say. We could talk about their idolatry and the fact that they fell into Baal worship. We could talk about that, which certainly is very, very significant, because that's a violation of the first command. So there's one of the Ten Commandments that they're in violation of. But as we go over this story, we're going to see that they are in violation of one commandment after another after another. And one of the lessons of the story of Ahab and Jezebel and Naboth and then eventually Jehu is that God does not allow them to get away with violating his commands. He actually raises up a captain, Jehu, to go and hold Ahab's household, Jezebel, Ahab's sons, etc., all accountable for violating God's laws. And this is one of the reasons, I mean, this is one of the arguments that ultimately destroyed the divine right of kings, that whole principle, which we're going to talk about in our upcoming film. It's very, very important because it's all based on the Bible. That's the thing. Without the Bible, these lessons would be unavailable. You've seen people trying to make the arguments from the old, you know, Greek and Roman philosophy and this kind of thing. But that stuff pales in comparison to the very direct and specific references that we have in the scripture that were used specifically by the Puritans and ultimately fashioned from that the system of rights that we have and freedom and the understanding of freedom. Because the understanding of freedom begins with restrained accountability in government, holding government accountable. All right, so now in an earlier show, we did a show here called When Kings Fail to Punish Evil. And it's very interesting when we read the story of Naboth and his vineyard and so on in the book of 1 Kings. We're going to be reading from chapter 21, but right before that, you have the episode where God sends King Ahab into battle against Ben-Hadad, who was the king of Syria. And God grants Ahab victory over Ben-Hadad. But then when it's over, Ben-Hadad's servants come to Ahab and they plead for mercy. And Ahab makes a deal with Ben-Hadad and then lets him go. And God sends a prophet. We read about this in 1 Kings chapter 20 and verse 42. God sends a prophet who says to him, "Thus saith the Lord, because thou hast let go out of thy hand a man whom I appointed to utter destruction. Therefore, thy life shall go for his life, and thy people for his people." That was God's judgment upon King Ahab because Ahab failed to punish a wicked enemy, failed to execute him. Instead, he gave him mercy, which he did not deserve. You see, the scripture says, "They shall have judgment without mercy who have shown no mercy." That's God's standard for mercy. It is not to let murderers, rapists, and thugs off the hook and just say, "Oh, well, we're just going to let them go." That's not God's standard for mercy. In fact, if we look to the scripture, you look to Luke chapter 6, verse 36, Jesus says, "Be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful." So notice what Jesus is saying. He's not just saying unconditional mercy. He's saying to be merciful as God in heaven is merciful. In other words, to imitate how God is merciful towards others. And that's why we have the scripture. But here the situation with Ahab and Ben-Hadad. Ahab exercised mercy toward Ben-Hadad in a way that was not pleasing to God. We could say the same thing about King Saul earlier, who had spared Agag, the Amalekite king. Another example in the New Testament, Jesus says, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. So shall you also love one another." In other words, we're called to love in the same way that Jesus loved. We're not called to love in whatever way we think is a good idea. You have these people who are professing Christianity, and what are they doing? They're out there approving things that are immoral, that God calls an abomination in his law. They're giving approval to these things, and they're saying that they're doing it out of love. But are they loving as Jesus loved? That's the real issue. And obviously, in those cases, the answer is no, because Jesus did not encourage people to violate God's law. All right, so let's look at the story of Jezebel and Naboth, and then we're going to talk about how this relates to what is happening in America today. Okay, so 1 Kings chapter 21. "And it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, Give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house. And I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it, or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money." So this is almost like eminent domain, although Ahab doesn't really have a reason. You know, in eminent domain laws that we have here in America, that typically pertains to a situation where it's going to be for the good of the community. In this situation, it is simply Ahab coveting somebody else's property because it was apparently a beautiful vineyard. And verse 3, we read, "And Naboth said to Ahab, The Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee." The Lord forbid it me. Now, why? Because God had told the children of Israel, the tribes of Israel, that the land that they received by lot, okay, when they drew lots for the land, that land was their land forever. And they were not to sell it or give it up. That's their land forever. So this is what Naboth is responding to in part, because he's going to obey God. He's going to obey God's command for him. And obviously Ahab had no real interest in that because he's worshiping Baal with his wife Jezebel. Okay, so we get to verse 4, and we read, "And Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him, for he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread." Now, this is a person, and this is something that I think everybody, you know, Paul the Apostle talks about finding a law that says thou shall not covet, and he realizes that in himself he's got all sorts of covetousness going on. This frustration when you want something and you can't have it, you can't get it, whatever it is. And Ahab now is obviously given over to this. I mean, this is not just, oh, I think that's a neat looking vineyard. Hey, are you willing to sell it? No? Ah, well, hey, it's awfully pretty, you know. Anyway, thanks, you know, and then you go your merry way. No, he's throwing himself down on the bed. He won't eat. He is given over to covetousness, not just admiration of something, but he's coveting it in a way that is extreme. And I think it's something that all of us have to safeguard ourselves against. This is one of the commandments of God. This is one of the chief reasons why socialism and communism are completely unconstitutional, because they are built on a foundation that is a violation of God's common law for mankind. Thou shall not covet. All right, so we read in verse 4 how Ahab laid himself down upon his bed, turned away his face, and would eat no bread. Then we read, "But Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said unto him, Why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? And he said unto her, Because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite, and said unto him, Give me thy vineyard for money, or else if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. And Jezebel, his wife, said unto him, Dost thou now govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread, and let thine heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite." So she's basically saying, hey, don't worry about this. I'm going to take care of it. So what does she do? Verse 8. "So she wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them with his seal and sent the letters unto the elders and to the nobles that were in his city dwelling with Naboth. And she wrote in the letters saying, Proclaim a fast and set Naboth on high among the people. And set two men, sons of Belial," meaning, well, the phrase sons of Belial means worthless fellows, or presumably sons of Baal or sons of Satan, sons of, you know, worthless fellows. "Two men, sons of Belial, before him to bear witness against him, saying, Thou didst blaspheme God and the king, and then carry him out and stone him that he may die." All right, so here we see the king and queen together. The king is guilty of being given over to covetousness, and now his queen is going to obtain his desire for him. She is going to use, really abuse, the powers of government. And what does she do? She comes up with a false accusation, and the false accusation leads to the killing, really the murder of Naboth, based upon a false testimony conjured up by the queen. All right, let's go to our commercial break, and we're going to talk more about this and what happens and how all of this pertains to our country today. Is all of this a picture of what's happening in America even now? We'll talk about that when we come back right after this.
Of the Bible, enter into a world of saints and martyrs battling spies. Space, assassins and wolves in sheep's clothing. A Lamp in the Dark unfolds the fascinating history, the Bible, and the lives of the saints who fought to preserve it. This exciting look into the times of valiant men of faith, such as John Wycliffe, William Tyndale, and Martin Luther, is a must-see for any follower of Christ. Filled with rich visual graphics and dramatic reenactments, A Lamp in the Dark is an epic documentary, a powerful witnessing tool for church and Bible study groups around the world. Share with your church, your family, and friends the untold history of the Bible today.
Hello, I'm Brandon House. In April of 2013, I found a Mountain House distributor and ordered some freeze-dried food for my family, because I had become concerned about what was happening in America, our lack of national security, the threat to our power grid. I also knew, living in Memphis on the New Madrid Fault, that there is the possibility of an earthquake. I also know that ice storms can cause the power to go out here, not to mention the threat of terrorism. There were many reasons. So I contacted the company Mountain House and asked if I could become a distributor of their product. I had some of their food when I was in high school on a couple camping trips, and it's really good. But now, Worldview Weekend has been approved to be a distributor for Mountain House. And if you're interested, you can now go into the bookstore at worldviewweekend.com/bookstore and check out some of the freeze-dried food that you can order. We have one pack that's available. It's a bucket of food, breakfast, lunch, and dinner for 14 days for one person. Figure out how many are in your family. Figure out how many days you want to have food ready to be put into boiling hot water and have a good meal, and make your order. Now, again, you can order it from someone else, but if you order it from Worldview Weekend, we're not going to charge any shipping and handling. Free shipping and handling. Secondly, it's another way for us to generate revenue to underwrite the expenses of running Worldview Weekend, our radio and television ministry, and our free conference ministry. For more details, just simply visit our bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore.
Noise of Thunder Radio.
Okay, we are back. Praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Thanks for staying with the show today. We are talking about Jezebel, Naboth, and America. Is the story of Naboth and Jezebel, Naboth being falsely accused because King Ahab, Jezebel's husband, coveted, desired his vineyard. And so what happens? She engineers false accusations against Naboth. We're reading about this in 1 Kings chapter 21. And we read how Jezebel had written letters and sealed them with the king's seal and sent them to the elders and the nobles to set up this accusation. And that's what they did. And so the rest of the story goes on. And it says they proclaimed a fast and set Naboth on high among the people. And there came in two men, children of Belial, and sat before him. And the men of Belial witnessed against him, even against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth did blaspheme God and the king. Then they carried him forth out of the city and stoned him with stones, that he died. Then they sent to Jezebel, saying, Naboth is stoned and is dead. And it came to pass, when Jezebel heard that Naboth was stoned and was dead, that Jezebel said to Ahab, Arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite, which he refused to give thee for money, for Naboth is not alive, but dead. And then it says, it came to pass, when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, that Ahab rose up to go down to the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite, to take possession of it. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah. And so God sends Elijah then. And Elijah says to Ahab, Thus saith the Lord, Hast thou killed and also taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, In the place where dogs licked the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine. And Ahab said to Elijah, Hast thou found me, O mine enemy? And he answered, I have found thee, because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. And then goes on down in verse 23, we're going to skip down, and it says, And of Jezebel also spake the Lord, saying, The dogs shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. And of course, we all know what happens with Jezebel, how she's eventually, by Jehu, she's thrown out of a tower, or Jehu calls up to her eunuchs, and they throw her out of the tower, and then he tramples on her with his horses, and then her body is eaten by dogs, according to the word of the Lord. And Ahab, prior to that, is actually killed in a battle, and then his sons, who were governing both Judah and in Samaria, they were both kings, and they're killed as well. And then all of Ahab's household is cut off by God through Jehu. And of course, there were many things that Ahab and Jezebel did. This is just one event. It seems to be kind of the straw that broke the camel's back. In verse 25, it says, But there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel, his wife, stirred up. Notice that. Jezebel stirs up Ahab to do wicked and evil things. Very, very, you know, that's very troubling to think about that. You know, there's a saying, behind every great man is a woman. Behind certain evil men, apparently, there could be a woman as well. That was the case with Jezebel and Ahab. They were the king and the queen. And the point is here, what are they guilty of? They're guilty of violating fundamental commandments of God. God's law not only says, Thou shalt not covet, but in Psalm 10, verse 3, it says, For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire and blesseth the covetous whom the Lord abhorreth. The covetous whom the Lord abhorreth. I mean, that's pretty strong language. Ephesians 5 and verse 5 says, For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Now, obviously, it's something that we have to safeguard ourselves against, because we live in a society that is driven by advertisements, by, you know, get-rich-quick schemes, by lotteries and all this other kind of stuff that compel people to stir up covetousness in the hearts of men. I mean, that's quite often what's happening in the world of advertising and this kind of thing. And especially once you bring in socialism and communism, they're entirely built on these covetous ideas, trying to compel people to basically do what Ahab does. You want that vineyard? You want that land over there? This is what's going on in South Africa. You want that land? Well, we're going to use the government to go take it by force. And this is what's happening in all of these countries that are being undermined by socialism and communism. I believe this is what's happening in America. That you have the Marxists, they have stirred up all of these false accusations against our country. They've completely misrepresented things like slavery. Thankfully, more and more people are waking up. There's an article, I think it's on Front Page Mag, but they're confronting Ilhan Omar and the fact that she comes from Africa and she's a Muslim, and there her people, her Islamic African people, are still practicing slavery. Now, I've talked about this on the program before. And somebody like her and others are going to come and lecture America about our history of slavery and things like this and alleged injustice and so on, when many parts of the world are still practicing these things. Many other cultures are still practicing these things and will not renounce them. And right now, we've got the Democratic Party and the media promoting Islam as something positive, and yet nobody confronts the fact that Islam has millions of slaves in the modern world. Millions. And justifies slavery, has never apologized for slavery. Nobody goes to the Muslims and says, you need to pay a reparation. And if you brought up the Islamic slave trade, they would probably call it Islamophobia. That would be the accusation. You'd be accused of Islamophobia for mentioning the fact that the Muslims still practice slavery. This is the incredible thing. And it's obvious that they are engaging in the media. The Marxist Sharia media is engaging in psychological warfare against our country and information warfare. And they're using our education system. They're using the schools. They're using colleges and universities. They're using Hollywood. And obviously, the fake news industry. That's this whole network of fake news. But their modus operandi is virtually identical to what we find out in this story of Ahab and Jezebel and Naboth. Is it begins with a covetous desire for something, which leads to false accusation, which then leads to the condemnation of an innocent man. And for me, that would be a picture of America in many ways. America's not guilty of many of the things that she's being accused of. America's simply not guilty of a lot of the charges against her and is a much better country than the countries from whence all these accusers have come from, quite frankly. But nevertheless, these false accusations are being raised up continually, and there is more and more talk of violence from the left. So while they haven't been able to put Naboth to death, let's just assume Naboth is a picture of America, they haven't been able to do that yet. That most certainly is the direction they are pointed. And so we can only hope and pray that God will raise up a Jehu to deal with this situation sooner or later. But we'll have to wait and see what happens and continue in prayer. All right, brethren. That is going to do it for us today. That is our show. We'll stop it there. But we will be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.